Welcome to your weekend market recap on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Chloe Wadd. Grain markets are quieter heading into the weekend after a volatile week. Ag Resource Company analyst Ben Buckner says traders are waiting for the final pro farmer yield estimate.
I think we all kind of expect it to be at or maybe a little below 180 bushels per acre or so. You know, I don't know if it's fully priced in, but that's not going to be terribly insightful this afternoon. Otherwise, it's just kind of more of the same. You know, what we've been waiting on, I think, is just Mother Nature's performance, you know, giving her a chance to, you know, let corn out yield acreage loss and yield high enough in soybeans to allow stocks to build. But I think pro farmers tour and a lot of private crop tours have said maybe that's off the table now. So otherwise, the list, you know, as we get back to, you know, full activity next week, it's pretty long for reasons why markets are not overly expensive. You know, two wars, the Black Sea in particular, U.S. yield challenges, drought in Europe, inflation, high crude oil. So all of that, I think, gives the market kind of new price.
Cattle futures were under renewed pressure as the markets reacted to the possibility of more imported beef entering the United States. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson said increasing supply is one way to bring retail beef prices down.
Really, the only way you can decrease price is increase supply. The only way you can increase supply is increase imports. And, I thought we would have learned from the Argentina fiasco that we shouldn't be importing a lot of beef at this point. Let the market take care of the problem itself, which it would. If the price gets too high, the consumer will back away.
The news added another layer of uncertainty to a cattle market that has already seen significant volatility.
This really sent shockwaves again through the system and cattle trading sharply lower because of it. And we're on a day, too, where we're looking at a cattle on feed report coming out this afternoon that is expected to be friendly. So we're also now starting to maybe push back the idea of the Arizona port opening up because of screwworm being found over in or close to that region. So there's a lot of uncertainty right now in the cattle markets. So having this news come in didn't really help us.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent took action to ease long-term interest rates. Ag Bull Trading President Tommy Grisafi said this dramatic action influenced the outside market.
They start buying back 30-year Treasury yields to knock down interest rates. That goes back to a play right out of the quantitative easing book, and that made gold skyrocket. So gold went from down $50 to up $125, $150, $175 per ounce moving. Gold, silver's up, crude oil's up big. Crude oil was just up $1.85. So we're seeing a real pop in commodities.
Ukraine has offered Russia a deal to stop attacks on civilian ships in the Black Sea. Reuters reports the offer was sent through a third party. Russia has not yet responded. The Black Sea is a key export route for both countries. Attacks on ships and ports have grown since July. That has raised new concerns about grain and food supplies around the world. Both sides had a similar deal in place under the Black Sea Grain Initiative, but that agreement ended in July 2023. President Donald Trump warned of tougher economic sanctions on Iran. Trump says the U.S. could target more parts of Iran's economy as pressure builds over the Strait of Hormuz.
We have things that we could sanction. We have very draconian sanctions, and we'll see what happens. Right now, the strait is open. A lot of boats are coming through. People aren't reporting that, and that may slow down a little bit at some point. But right now, a lot of boats are coming through. The naval blockade has been extremely effective. Literally, while it's up, and it's been for quite a while, except for a couple of little pauses where we opened it purposely with a deal.
That was your weekend market recap on the Red River Farm Network.
With a look at this week in the news, I'm JB Dickerman. Senate Farm Bill still stuck after Democrats voted against the bill in committee. Senate Majority Leader John Thune, appearing at Dakota Fest, said a one-year delay in new SNAP cost-sharing rules was added to help build support. He says the White House was on board with it.
You know, the White House was involved in helping us as we negotiated that. We were trying to come up with something that a bill that the president would sign. They were agreeable to a one-year delay. And what's interesting about it is we did that really to help get Democrat votes, and they block voted against it because they say it isn't enough.
Republicans and Democrats remain divided over the SNAP error rates. North Dakota Senator John Hovind says the GOP has already made concessions on the timeline for implementation.
It was to go into effect October 1 of 2007. We have now agreed to delay it till October 1, 2008. That is 2 years. And so we're still getting the savings because states are working to get that error rate down. So we're getting savings, and we have given them a compromise, and they need to take it. And we're hopeful after they get home and talk to their farmers and get through their primaries or whatever their issue is, when we take that bill to the floor, that they'll get on board and help. And they got to quit holding up our farmers and ranchers. Our guys need help. They're in a tough situation with low commodity prices and high input prices, and we need to get this done.
North Dakota Congresswoman Julie Fedorchuk says changes are needed to make the H-2A guest worker program work better for farmers. Fedorchuk met with some farmers at a ranch near Carrington to hear their concerns about finding and keeping workers.
This program provides vital farm workers for a lot of the farmers in North Dakota. There's tweaks that need to be made to make it work better for them and to help them give them the labor they need to continue to grow and produce really high quality food to feed the American people.
The Trump administration working to open more foreign markets for U.S. agriculture. U.S. Trade Ambassador and Chief Ag Negotiator Julie Callahan spoke with farmers and ag leaders in Grand Forks this week. Callahan says her goal is simple.
I don't see countries. I see all of the bad behaviors. You know, I see, okay, Japan, that's a great country. They're not accepting U.S. potatoes, and that's not right. And so every country, I have a wish list of things where we need to open that market for all of these U.S. products, whether it's dairy, beef, pork, poultry, soybeans, corn, tree nuts, every commodity that's grown in the United States. My job is open that market to make sure U.S. farmers can compete with third countries and build market share all over the world.
U.S. and Canada apparently have a tentative trade deal. If finalized, the agreement would shut down the 50% U.S. tariffs on key Canadian products. Details sketchy, but President Trump said Canada agreed to end tariffs. A new meat processing facility in Staples, Minnesota, officially opened its doors this week. Minnesota Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson says the Farmers Union facility addresses a need that became especially clear during the COVID pandemic.
Really excited to be with Senator Klobuchar and Senator Smith today at the ribbon cutting at the plant. I was there for the groundbreaking about a year ago, and kind of interesting how long that takes, just to get a plant up and running and stay with it. And anything you build, the costs are going to, keep going up and everything. Really proud of Farmers Union for sticking with us. You know, they really saw a need really through COVID and everything that we need more local processing, and the consumers want it too, and farmers want it. And
Peterson says the goal is to eventually become a USDA inspected facility, opening additional markets for livestock farmers. With a look at this week in the news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
From the Red River Farm Network, I'm Chloe Wild with your weekend weather recap. Another week brought a mix of rainfall, cooler temperatures, and continued dryness across the region. Scattered thunderstorms brought beneficial rainfall to parts of North Dakota, Minnesota, and South Dakota this week, while other areas largely missed out. Temperatures also backed off from the recent summer heat at times, providing some relief for crops and livestock. Despite the rain, dry conditions remain a concern in portions of the Dakotas as August moves toward the final stretch. Crop scouts on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour traveled the back roads of northwest Iowa. Tour lead Chip Flory said Nebraska's corn yield averaged 163.4 bushels per acre, down nearly 9% from last year. The number of soybean pods in a 3x3 square are down nearly 10%.
Really an average bean crop out there. One thing that is better than what we saw a year ago, we didn't see a whole lot of disease and not much weed pressure in Nebraska this year either.
In the eastern Corn Belt, Pro Farmer said Indiana had the potential average corn yield of 206 bushels per acre. Crop Scout Brian Kaufman says there is wind damage in Indiana.
Very tangled up and going to be a real booger to harvest. Some of it's kinked. There was some green snapping out there, but there's a lot of it that's kinked that's going to have a hard time finishing out maybe. There's going to be some header loss too. They're going to have a hard time picking it up.
U.S. Farm Report host Tyne Morgan said it was a late start to the season. However, it turned very dry before catching big rains.
But the farmer told me it was so dry leading up to that, at least where we were, that got the 6 to 7 inches of rain last week, the rain actually soaked in. So that's been surprising to me. Is it muddy? Absolutely. But I cannot believe that we're not walking in fields that have more standing water than they do at this point. But it is an area. Some of these fields, talking to farmers in Indiana, some of these fields were replanted two times. In some cases in Ohio and Indiana, these fields were replanted three times. So we're just talking about an area that had a really challenging rain.
Warm weather continued to push crop development across the northern plains and upper Midwest. Peterson lead agronomist Rick Sensen said most locations gained about 30 more growing degrees units than normal over the past week. Weekly GDU totals range from 115 at northern locations to 178 farther south. Some locations now have passed 2,000 GDUs for the growing season. Most areas still need about 400 to 500 GDUs for corn to reach black layer. That is down from 550 to 650 GDUs a week earlier. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has given a 90% probability of a super El Niño in September through January. This historic weather event would increase the likelihood of drought in Australia and Asia. South America would also face erratic weather. For the northern plains, a super El Niño would likely deliver favorable fall conditions and a mild winter. Nutrigen atmospheric scientist Eric Snodgrass says the current El Niño is already the strongest on record and may not peak until late this year.
El Niños tend to tilt the odds of the way that the atmosphere typically behaves in fall and winter in a certain direction. And as we think about it, the key thing to be watching is over the next 60 days, pay close attention to the way the flow enters the United States from the west. Generally, when we have El Niños building like the one we have now, we tend to increase this piece of the jet stream called the subtropical jet. It kind of leaves Hawaii and goes to California, then races across the midsection of the country. And the net effect of that is that El Niños tend to tilt the odds toward wetter fall time periods.
Looking ahead, the weekend should start mostly dry with slightly cooler temperatures across the region. Rain chances return to parts of the Dakotas before spreading east, with additional chances for showers and thunderstorms into early next week. I'm Chloe Wadd with the Red River Farm Network.